Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. Steve, how are things going for you and the Republican Party of New Mexico this week?
Things are going well. Of course, we just got through recognizing Memorial Day. That's when we pay honor to those soldiers who gave the ultimate sacrifice. A lot of people don't always distinguish between Veterans Day. That's for all veterans. But Memorial Day is specifically for those who paid with their lives and serving the country. And it's appropriate that we would do that without people, without young men and women who are willing to sacrifice all for freedom and liberty. We will actually lose those. And so this idea of having a country that is free and gives us all the freedoms that we enjoy here is something that we cannot take for granted. But we're doing well and got a big show this week. We've got, of course, the debt limit vote is coming up very shortly. I have a great discussion with KOAT, and so we're going to air portions of that for you. We also are going to talk about the food supply. Nothing impacts people more than the amount of food they require to just get through every day. And so that's a discussion of what the left is doing to the food supply worldwide. Education is back in the headlines again. John Block has got a fascinating post that he pulls information from the Rio Grande Foundation. And so we'll talk a little bit about the Albuquerque spending per student. And then the Supreme Court has, again, smacked down the EPA under Joe Biden. And we're going to bring that up and talk a little bit about it. So stay tuned for a great program. But let's lead right in with that KOAT discussion with Stephanie.
Yeah, they did a great job. We mentioned it last week and played part of it on the CYFD investigation. And now with this vote on the debt ceiling, I'm happy to see that at least one of the TV stations in Albuquerque has come to ask you your side of it. We normally don't get the Republican side. So kudos to KOAT, Action 7 News.
Absolutely. And I explained to Stephanie that anytime you're going to talk about the debt ceiling, it's a very complex discussion. The main thing is whether you or not you can get the votes on the floor. And I saw just today where 26 or 28 Republicans are saying they're not going to vote for it. It's got a lot of things that are distasteful to Republican mindset. So that's going to put pressure on Speaker McCarthy because he'll have more Democrats voting for it, I suspect, than Republicans. If it doesn't pass, Joe Biden is to blame because he waited 90-something days to discuss this with Speaker McCarthy. When you've got a split Congress, Republicans controlling one house, Democrats the other, Democrats controlling the presidency, you better all be working on the same page. This debt ceiling has got serious implications, but let's listen to that segment.
We've been talking about the debt ceiling agreement. Obviously, this is something that has been going back and forth for a while, and now we're just kind of at the very end where, you know, it's getting into that critical time. Can you tell me a little bit about what you believe would be the biggest impact? Let's start with the current agreement that we are seeing now is passed all the way, what impacts would that have on New Mexicans?
Well, first of all, just to talk about the debt limit itself is very complex and you can't view it from one particular perspective. You have to decide from one perspective, but you must look at all the different components of it. First of all, it's really tough that Biden, the president, did not come to the negotiating table for 90-something days. And this thing is very complex. So probably the biggest complexity is getting enough votes. Democrats won't vote for less spending, and Republicans aren't going to vote for more taxes. And so you always, every single one, I was there 14 years, and always the same problem existed. So the agreement that came out, maybe it's as good as they could get. I don't know. I'll let the people who are actually there determine that. But then to the effects that which you ask about, I was there when the government shut down for 17 days, and we heard the same sort of narratives going in that we're going to default on our debt. And number one, that's not going to happen, and it didn't happen then. We are also told that Social Security checks are going to stop and the VA checks are going to stop and all of these scare tactics. And none of those things happen because by law, those payments have to be made. The tax revenues are still coming into the government. It's just that we can't borrow more money and we can't go into the extra spending that all administrations want to get into. And so that money coming in can be spent to pay the debt so we don't default. It can and should be used to pay Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all of the TANF programs. So I think the biggest question outside what votes can you get on the floor has to be the impending doom of the dollar. I don't know if people are watching closely, but the BRICS nations, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, they quit using the dollar to trade in. Now, this doesn't mean a lot to most people, but it would be catastrophic if the U.S. is displaced as the world's reserve currency. That means right now all 189 nations use dollars to trade back and forth. That means that we export a lot of inflation. So when the debt ceiling is simply done away with for the rest of the term, which is one of the agreements here, that means that that there's no restraint on the Biden administration on spending. And the higher that they move the deficit, the more the inflation affects the dollar. And then other countries say, wait, we're going to quit trading in your dollars because we lend you expensive dollars and then you give us cheap dollars back. And so we're facing a tremendous threat to our entire currency. And that's maybe the biggest issue that both sides should have come together on. Again, the inflation is hurting people in their pocketbooks. That's caused by the deficits. But the inflation is even more dangerous when considering the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. And so all of those things have to be considered as you're looking at this debt ceiling negotiation. So maybe it's the best they could get to get the votes on the floor. But both parties really need to come together and deal with this, the value of the dollar and the trust of the dollar by friendly nations to us.
Worst case scenario, if this doesn't move forward, what type of impact would that have on New Mexicans if there's not enough votes to push it through all the way?
Again, there are rules and laws in place right now that cause the essential things to be paid. And so during the, I think it was the 17-day shutdown when I was there, it was either 2011 or 13, something in that range. And I don't think the people in New Mexico really knew that it was shut down. They knew because of the news, but I don't think that there was a big effect felt. I know that we kept our staff there and we did not take pay. I didn't take pay during that period. And we were declared essential service in Congress. And I said, you know, if anybody suffers, we should be the first to suffer because we're the ones who can't come to an agreement. And so I stayed and worked and our staff did and we went without pay. But I don't think that the effect was as catastrophic out in New Mexico or across the country as what many of the news outlets had said it would be.
In this current agreement, there's some things that are going to be kept the same: Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. There have been some changes made to the SNAP benefits as far as the work requirements for people up to 54. Do you think if that would actually make an impact for some of the folks here in New Mexico who are at that age and don't have any kids and rely on SNAP benefits?
Well, again, you have to ask that question with two or three points of view to start with, to come to a rational conclusion. And number one is this threat of the dollar being displaced as the world's reserve currency. Should able-bodied people be required to work to get the benefits? And the argument is pretty strong when you look at the deficits that we're running and the effect that it's causing on the dollar internationally. Then you say, okay, we all ought to be pitching in and doing what we can. So that's a very strong argument for the work requirements. But most of the work requirements, according to what I've studied or have seen, is that most of the work requirements were actually dropped out of this final agreement. So again, you'll find conservatives in Congress saying, well, you should have got that, you should have got this. So it's going to be hard to get their votes. And then the Democrats are saying, yeah, but you required this and that. It's going to be hard to get their votes. So I can see a position where the bill won't pass. And again, the fault for that lies with Joe Biden for waiting till this last second until he came to the negotiating table. He wasn't even meeting with Speaker McCarthy, like, no, y'all have to do what I want. And Washington is, you've got to work together when you've got a split Congress, and we've got the split Congress. And so you've got to work together, and you have to do things sometimes that you might not want to do, because the stakes are very high right now. Internationally, the stakes are high in the U.S. here. So it's a shame that it's in the last day, but it is. And so we'll have to see what happens.
You were in kind of that position for several years. You know what it's like. What does our Congress have to do now? What would you expect for this being on the very last edge of getting to Monday without an agreement? What needs to be done? What do they need to do? Our senators and our representatives need to do to make sure that we can move forward from this and really come through that to an agreement.
I really think that everyone should stay and work through the weekend. And I would take the debate to the floor. I will tell you that everyone needs to be publicly seen what's being given up and what's being exchanged for this concession and that concession. And both sides need to be willing to give quite a bit. Again, this threat to all Americans, if we lose the status as the world's trading currency, to what all the other countries use to trade in, if we lose that, it's going to be catastrophic for us. All of the inflation that we've been exporting to 189 other countries will come in back inside the country all at once. And we're going to see tremendous unsettlement in both the government programs, but our personal lives. And so I would hope that we'd sit there all weekend long and debate this on the floor. Let the representatives on both sides see what the stakes are in each one of these questions. I mean, you ask good questions. What if we have a work requirement? How's it going to affect people? That should be an open debate. And what about TANF work requirements? I know they were dropped, but what about this idea that we got no restraint on the administration for the rest of this term? That was a huge give up by a Republican speaker. And I'm not sure that he got in return what you should get in return if you give somebody just an open blank checkbook. This debt limit is like your credit card limit. You can't go beyond whatever your monthly limit is. And now then there's no limit for the rest of this term. The deficit this year is going to be $1.5 trillion, and there's nothing that keeps them from moving to $3 trillion. And so that balance of power is suddenly lost in this one discussion here. But I would hope they work through the weekend.
I just want to point out, too, Steve, that the press has been saying that the Republican-led Congress had better pass an increase to the debt ceiling or will default. What they don't say is they already passed an increase. They did that several weeks ago. They wanted to cut some spending along with it, but they already passed. They approved an increase in the debt ceiling.
Yeah, and the Senate could take that up, pass it in the same form that the Republican House passed it in, and go straight to Joe Biden for signature. It's actually a fairly easy process if the people set aside their personal agendas. And so that's where things get really sticky. But it's an essential conversation.
I'm having a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. The program is Inside New Mexico, and we'll be right back.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party, Steve Pierce. You know, Steve, our program here, Inside New Mexico, is available online. If folks miss it on their local radio station, you can go to the RPNM Facebook page or webpage. On the Facebook page, it explains the topics that we discuss each week. Last week, we talked about the presidential contenders coming up in the primary. And you know how the left likes to blame Donald Trump for being nasty and this and that. Somebody actually posted, it'll be interesting to see which Nazi wins the Republican primary. Well, Nazi actually means National Socialist Party. Which party in the United States is most like the socialists?
Now, that's absolutely the Democrats. The progressive Democrats have taken the party over. They're the socialists.
Well, Bernie Sanders says he is.
Yeah. So you have to say that either the people who post those kind of comments are just not well informed, or maybe they're just trying to spread out political hate. And that's very destructive in our system. You know, it's okay for people to have different points of view. But when you start spreading hate, that is poisonous in a republic like America is.
We've got a report that the homelessness in New Mexico went up 48% in 1 year. And you have to wonder, what policies are driving that?
The Democrats have been in control of the state for now 90 plus years, almost a century, and they own every problem. And yet they're not being held accountable for this homeless problem. What they are getting are kudos from the press, because the governor came out and declared that she was going to get more affordable housing. Well, there's an interesting article that came out in, I think it was the New York Post, that actually describes the studies that have been done when they try to increase the affordable housing as if that's the problem. and it never works. The problem is addiction, and the problem is mental illness that is generally caused by the addiction. Until you solve those problems, you're not going to cure the homeless problem, no matter how much money you throw at it. You can look at states where they're putting the homeless in $400 and $500 a night hotel rooms. It's still not changing the lifestyle of those people. What we need are meaningful reforms to how we deal with mental health and with the drug crisis. Certainly, you don't solve the drug crisis by going out and legalizing more drugs. They've tried that in Oregon, and now then they've got buyer's remorse. The voters are saying, wait, we didn't expect this. We didn't want this. What we just wanted was everybody to get along okay. We wanted people just to be okay. Well, you're not going to get okay when you're strung out on drugs. And so let's be honest with ourselves. Let's attack the problem and let's solve it. I think with the American ingenuity, we have all the capability in the world to solve these problems. But you're not going to do it by throwing more money at affordable housing. That winds up with deep deficits and wasted money.
Well, the other thing was, it looks like she's starting a new government bureaucracy to deal with the homeless. I thought the legislature had to be involved with that.
Well, you're exactly right. And so the legislature, actually, Democrats and Republicans joined together, and they didn't quite get some of the limits on her power passed. But you could tell the discussions among Democrats were extreme. So I suspect that she's going to encounter some turbulence after creating this agency here. Sometimes her willingness to just bypass the process amazes even me, and I've known the governor for a lot of years. We met first when I was in the state legislature, 97, 98. I was on the appropriating committee. She was coming in as, I think, the advocate for the aging and the ombudsman, and so I think that I know her pretty well. But even sometimes she surprises me with the things that she will do.
The United States Supreme Court made a decision about water. This has been going on for a while, and it was a defeat for President Biden's EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, and the press comes out and says the left is blaming the MAGA judges, the Trump-appointed judges. But yet, it was a unanimous vote, so even the Obama-appointed judges saw that what they were trying to do was wrong.
Yeah, the nice thing about the Supreme Court is that generally, they act in pretty nonpartisan fashion. They look at the issues pretty deeply. There are things that get politicized, and they're just human beings. But when you look at a case like this where the EPA was trying to regulate bodies of water, literally take over and limit what people could do with their water that is on their property, maybe a stream flows through it, maybe they have ponds, and the EPA has long had their sights on trying to regulate those bodies of water. The surface water has been described as a private property in Supreme Court decisions in the past, and it is still that. The U.S. government has no right to step in and control private property. That's what differentiates us in this country from dictatorships in other countries. And so the Biden administration was lining up with a group of people around the world who say, if we control the water, we control everything. And the Supreme Court said no. And like you said, it was a unanimous decision. All the Democrats voted the same way the Republicans did. And yet you get these calls in the press that, oh, this is simply Trump appointees. We need to expand the number of people on the Supreme Court. We need to do this. We need to do that. And literally the hysteria gets a little amusing, but it's just as unsettling as it is amusing.
I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Albuquerque Public Schools has a massive budget. Are they getting a return on their investment? Steve and I will discuss that next on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, a report came out that Albuquerque Public Schools has a budget of $2.16 billion. That's $31,349 per student. Why, then, don't they have the highest test scores in the nation?
Yeah, you have to put it into context, Derek, that nationwide the spending per student is about $15,000, maybe a little bit above that. And so Albuquerque Public Schools, they're spending more than double the national average. And you'd think that we're somewhere besides last place in education. If we want change, we're going to have systemic change. We're going to have, for instance, a choice in schools. I'm sure that there are private schools out there that are charging much less than $31,349 per student, and they're getting better results. If parents had the right to move their student and take the funding with them, I just know that a lot of private schools would take these students at far less than $31,000 each, and that's per year. So we know that the system is not working under Democrats. We know it needs a significant overhaul. We know that the unions are the major part of the problem, and Republicans would change that. But Albuquerque Public Schools, as long as it's controlled by Democrats, they're going to keep spending more money and getting less results. An interesting note is that this budget has increased 68% since 2020. So in a little over 2 years, 2.5 years, the budget has gone up by almost 70%. That's an astronomical figure, and you have to think that it goes back to the COVID funding that was just being poured out of Washington, given to the states free of charge. And a lot of times it was used to bail out unions, and so you suspect that might be what's driving this budget increase there. Another interesting fact in this article by the Rio Grande Foundation is that the student enrollment has been declining for the last couple of years. It's now dropped down to under 70,000, actually 68,900. That's where you get the figure of 31,349. You simply divide 2.16 billion by the number of students, 68,902, and you come up with that figure that is astronomical, and still no increase in the reading scores, no increase in the math. We still are at the bottom of the heap nationwide.
Global climate elites could wind up starving you. And that's a report from Newsmax.
Brigadier General Blaine Holt is the one who put this article out the 26th of May. And I would draw your attention to that because nothing is more fragile than the food supply in the country right now. And nothing is more important. Food equals freedom. And when families get hungry, then people resort to almost anything. So this idea of what's happening to our food supply is extremely important. That article goes on to quote one of the members of the World Economic Forum, a guy named Dennis Meadow, and he's calling for depopulation of the earth of 86%. That's out of every 100 people. They think that 86 should just be rubbed out. That's an astonishing thing. But when you look at what's going on to the world food supply, then you say, well, maybe there's more to that than what I thought. This is an important issue for New Mexico because our economy is built, first of all, around energy, around oil and gas. But one of the next largest segments of the economy is agriculture. New Mexico has got a lot of row crops, a lot of things that feed people. We have a lot of beef production, lamb production. And so New Mexico has a significant element of its job creation based right in the food supply chain. And yet we're seeing things which limit access to food. For instance, in just the last year, 58 million chickens have been condemned by the government for some reason. Thousands of grocery stores have closed since 2020. The grain supply worldwide, since the Russia-Ukraine war has been on, has been decreasing steadily. All of those are indications that the supply chain for food is stressed to its absolute limit. And so telling piece of the article came when the general talked to one of his friends during 2020. A lot of the protests were going on in Chicago. His friend lived in Chicago, and he said, how much food supply do you have in your apartment? The guy says, about 3 hours. That's probably about the same thing that most people have. We can't live without kind of a constant access to food. And so city dwellers a lot of times take food, water, and energy for granted. We have access to those out in the rural parts of America. We've got farms that could produce a lot, but regulations are shutting them down. And so I suspect that access to food is going to become a major issue as we move forward. The government in the Netherlands has been taking farms away from and shutting farms down in that country. Dutch farmers produce, I think, the number two food supplier in all of Europe, and yet they're being shut down in massive numbers so that some obscure goal of limiting nitrogen or whatever it is can play out. when people start finding empty store shelves, you're going to find riots. That's what was happening back when Hurricane Sandy hit New Jersey. The food shelves were empty within a matter of hours, and people began to protest in the streets. Where is the food? Same thing back several years ago when you had the Arab Spring going on. The news media was saying that that's where the Arab nations, the people in the Arab countries, were protesting for freedom. No, actually, they were protesting for food because the food supply had run out in their countries. And so as we look at the Democrats moving to socialism, as we see the leftist elitists across the world calling for depopulating the earth by 86%, we know that there are serious things on the horizon for us, and food is one of the most serious that we're facing. But again, Derek, a great show. Again, I'd like to just send out our deepest thoughts to the families of servicemen and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. We always should remember and honor the sacrifice of those families, and we do that today.
Thank you, Steve. And I've been talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. If you've been listening to us and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, there are several ways to do that. One is to check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you can call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week on Inside New Mexico.